825 at WEOL. When we pull in the parking lot here at the Arabica, one of the things we notice is the big mural on the wall of the building next to us, which has the flag raising of Iwo Jima, kind of in a sort of a two-dimensional, three-dimensional, because there's the flag that comes off the top of the building. So we thought we'd get some information about that. We have John Sekulesar and the artist, his son Mike, in responsible for that. John, let me just start by asking you just a little bit of the beginning of this. I know it's probably a big story of how it is, but why this wall and why that type of a mural on there?
Well, the mural was picked by my son. He thought it was one of the, actually we started with the Iwo Jima flag raising mural. It was one of the most iconic images in the world. And he came to me and told me that he would like to paint this image on a wall. So we continued to follow through with it, and here we are now.
Why this wall? I mean, whose building is that, and why is there...
I spoke to the director of Main Street Amherst, which is located directly across the street, and she had pointed out that building to us, and she said that would be a nice choice as far as she was concerned. So as we went to look at the building, my son and I, he said the building wasn't really tall enough. So I said, really? So what do you need? What are you looking for? He said, well, he had projected the images of the gentleman raising the flag at a certain dimension, and he could actually change that by altering the height of the building by elevating the flag above the building. So that's how that came about.
So the flag itself is a free-flying flag, I mean, with a pole that comes out of it. It almost takes it from a photograph to reality. I mean, you see the flag waving when the wind's blowing, so it creates a sort of a living mural, if you will, I guess.
That's correct, yep.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about your history. How did you get to a point where you can do such artistry?
Well, I've been drawing and painting since I was a little boy, and I went to art school after high school. I learned a few things there, and I did graphic design professionally for 17 years, and I lived out in Oregon for about 10 years. And I moved back to my hometown, and I wanted to do something special, I guess you could say, and pay back, you know, my tribute to the veterans. And at that time, my focus obviously was World War II. I decided to do the Iwo painting, and it kind of just, everything kind of fell into place. The only thing was I've never done a mural before that to that size. So I was a little nervous at first, but I just went for it. And I had some help with a friend of mine, his name's Ryan Shannon. He's a painter also, and we kind of just tackled it as just you would any other painting, except, you know, it's so iconic, and everyone has seen the picture before. I don't know if there's anyone out there that's never seen that.
When you're painting a picture like this, though, you're getting so intimate into it, so you're seeing even more detail than we probably ever saw in that picture.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we studied parts of and zoomed in on stuff, and you know, the picture being as old as it is, the clarity is not, you know, like we have today, but so I did a lot of figuring out what the heck is, you know, the guy's wearing on his belt, or different details that, you know, when you scale something up that large, you gotta make it right. So we took our time on it. It took several months, 3 months I think total.
What's the scale? You have the proportions of
that's, I don't know. Like, the height of the building is, I believe it's 20 feet tall. And then the flag above that is another 14 feet, I believe.
Now, your dad was showing me a picture. Is that a picture of a painting of the person painting the mural, it looked like?
Right, yeah.
That too?
That was the you know, Vietnam Reflections painting. So that's that photograph is, you know, me standing on the scaffolding, painting, you know, the figure in the painting.
That's another portion of the wall then.
Yes.
Too, that you have.
Yeah, that's,
explain that one to us. You say Vietnam reflection.
Yeah, that's we recreated the, you know, famous reflections at the Vietnam Wall, done originally by Lee Teeter in 1988, and that's my, you know, Vietnam era tribute. And again, another iconic image. I think a lot of people have seen that one before. The man is standing at the wall, and you can see reflections of soldiers through the, you know, the
placing
granite.
His hand on the wall, probably maybe touching a name of somebody that he knew, or person,
yeah,
like that, or
correct.
just resting in a little bit of a mm-hmm. weariness, I suppose.
Yeah, and he's
too.
You know, he's wearing a suit. He's a businessman, and he's a veteran also, and he's. It's just, it's very moving, and it's got a timeless quality to it that, you know, we really appreciate. And, we were the first ones to ever recreate this image. It's a painting.
You have now also, because of the themes of this, veterans have really responded strongly to this. You even hold ceremonies on veterans. They talked maybe briefly about that, John, if you could. About that.
Right. After the first mural that Mike did was the Iwo Jima, we realized how touching and moving the veterans were towards the painting that was being done. So I decided that we would have a dedication ceremony after the completion of the mural. And it was well received. All the American Legion, the VFW in our area, and all the military people were very, very active in contributing to it. So from that point on, we just continued on with. We were off. That was completed in 2011. We had the ceremony in 2011, and in 2012, we had another ceremony, and there was nothing done on the wall at the time. But the third year, Mike did the Reflections Vietnam one. And one thing I like to mention about that mural is it's done per exactly the way it's done in the wall in Vietnam, I mean, in Washington, D.C., with one specific change. We incorporated the names of the 98 gentlemen that were killed in Lorain County in one area. That you can read, it's below the arm of the gentleman in the photo, or in the mural, and it's the 98 that lost their lives and gave their all from Lorain County. So we wanted it to be special. So
a little artistic license, obviously, something like that. You also have Korea, the Korean conflict represented there too, right?
Yep, we just finished that about a month and a half ago.
And, of course, in that one, you had a chance to meet one of the people who was sort of featured in that photograph, right? What was that like for you?
Yeah, the guy who's driving the Jeep, his name's Lou Repko. He's from Lorain. And we heard about that he was on the cover of Life magazine in 1950. At that time, he was a 17-year-old soldier over there. And he just happened to, you know, be on the cover, and he's a Lorain native, and I thought, well, that would be perfect to add, because I wanted to do kind of a collage of different images for Korea to show, you know, different branches of military and different scenarios. And I thought that would be just perfect to have another local person on there.
Mike, when you do a mural like this outdoors, do you have to use any kind of special paint, any kind of special preservative to keep it in place?
I actually use artist oil paints like you would on a little canvas or whatever. The paint is not really that special. We prep the wall pretty well to be able to receive. You know, it's kind of a rough brick wall. So, Sherwin-Williams donated our exterior paint for the wall. We had a mason come by and help us point some of the really bad spots in the wall and kind of just make it a little bit easier to work with. So I used regular oil paints out of a tube, And as far as sealing it, we use a an epoxy. It's a two-part epoxy. It goes on cloudy and it dries like glass. So it ended up being a good relationship with the company who makes that product. And we were actually the first people to ever use the product in this way. It's made for concrete floors and things like that, industrial kind of thing. So we use it for the murals, and they ended up doing a case study on it, and just to show the diversity of their product or whatever. So in return, we get the product for free, which is great.
Sounds neat, and I like the fact, you know, you're doing this during the time as an artist. Is there any reflection going on? I mean, when you're painting this, obviously some of it maybe is a little mundane getting it, but there must be moments where you're sort of realizing as you step back sort of what has been created and a little bit of the emotion that goes with that.
Yeah, it's I really like painting on that scale, really large like that. It does take a while for it to kind of be like, all right, I'm seeing it now. It's coming together. It's just neat. And then it's just all day long. I have people beeping.
I was going to say, you probably have a little bit of the
buy me
audience.
Coffee. You know, just they're just so impressed, and it's very humbling, and I appreciate that. So,
well, we appreciate what you do, and thanks for coming in and sharing a little bit of the story. I know when we came in here in the morning, it was like, you know, the sun hadn't come up yet, but yet those murals are standing, watching the sense over here, mm-hmm. and people have a chance to take a look at it. Again, it's right here next to the Arabica on Park Avenue in Amherst. Our guest this morning, John Sekletar and his son Mike, and people can just, they stop by and probably makes a photo stop for them, especially those who are somebody, know somebody or had been in those wars. So we appreciate making this monument. It's a great thing for you guys. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you very much.
Coming up more, we're going to look a little at the history of Amherst as well as what's happening in the world of travel and tourism for the Visitors Bureau. That's all coming up here at WEOL.